as I was praying about this service this morning. Let me just read that to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It starts out in one of the upper verses, the verse right before it, about giving and not giving grudgingly. He that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he that sows bountifully reaps that way bountifully. But look at the next verse, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. And I'm going to read it out of the Amplified because I like it. I have the King James right here. But check out the Amplified because it says, let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart. Okay, so think about that just for a second. When you're talking about finances, and man, we work 8, 10, 12, sometimes longer hours just to get the stuff. I mean, we're so a lot of times enslaved to, man, and thank God for work. The Bible says in the Old Testament, he that doesn't work doesn't eat. So it's important to eat. And it's important to work. Amen? Who loves to eat? Well, let's... I'm starting to get hungry. All right, bow your heads. Let's close for the day. No, we don't even have a Furs cafeteria anymore in Luby's. Purposing in your heart means that you spend a little bit of time with the Lord and saying, Father, here's the finances. I need direction. You know, and a lot of people don't do that. And so here, the Word of God is trying to help us understand that as we spend time with the Lord and just seeking His direction in these areas, He's going to help us in those areas. Let me go on. So He says, and purposed in His heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion, for God loves, He takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a cheerful giver. Prompt to do it, giver, whose heart is in His giving. Now, real fast, before we give in this bucket and in that bucket, the Bible says that God reigns on the just and the unjust. You know what that means? That His principles will work for a believer and an unbeliever. If you just do the principle of God, it'll work for you. That's why you see a lot of entertainers that are givers. Man, they're blessed. I mean, I can probably go, and I don't know, Oprah Winfrey's personal spiritual life. I've never met her. Don't know. Have an idea. But she's a giver. Anybody ever watched her show? She's liable to give the whole crowd something. She's paid off houses. Okay, she's one of the wealthiest people in the country. So think about if you honored God in that same way and you had that heart to give. I'm telling you, I'll show you a person that owes no man but to love them. That's why we give, y'all. Not so that the church can get your money. No, we have to pay our employees, and these buildings are built debt-free. We don't owe anything on these things. So what we're teaching is that when you give, man, let God purpose it in your heart. Talk to Him. Say, Father, how can I be a blessing? Amen? With that attitude, it'll be a whole lot better than worrying and all the things that come with trying to pay bills and those kind of things. No, trust God. He is your provider in Jesus' name. Amen? So come give with a big old shout of praise. Amen? And by the way, thank you so much for giving. Thank you all that do give to us. Honor you and appreciate you. Call you partners. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus. Hey, good job. Bye. Before they pass out, y'all just come and begin to get ready to pass out communion. Let's pray over the finances. Father, I thank you, Lord, that the seed that the people gave this morning to you, Father, is a seed that is planted in good ground. And that seed then will germinate and produce a harvest into their lives, because that's what the word says. In Luke 6:38, it says, if we give, it will be given unto us with a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto us our bosoms. Father, I thank you, Lord, that that word will come to pass in the lives of these people that gave. And the ones that give, whenever they give, the same principle happens for them. It applies. So, Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for just the provision, for you being the provider of all of our lives, including this church. And we know we have big visions of continuing to build that kids' church and finishing it and the offices. But I just thank you, Lord, that we're going to, by faith, trust in you. And we do that in our individual lives and finances. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's take communion. Once a month, at the first of the month, we always take communion. We feel like it's really important. Communion, obviously, is remembering what Jesus did. Thank you, John. Thank you, brother. The broken body and the blood that was shed. When I take communion, of course, I'm going through a lot of things that come to my mind. I'm trying to picture, though I wasn't there, the beating that Jesus took. I'm trying to think in my mind and remember all what the word says about his crucifixion, how he overcame. You remember in Revelations where it says he overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. I try to think of, just picture him walking down that road called Golgotha, and he's heading up to that hill where they crucified him. I know it's kind of understandable to imagine based on the movies that we see, but yet, just thinking about the crown that was crammed on his head was not just placed gently on top of his head as a crown. Man, it was cruel. Wow. You study it out, those thorns were over 3 inches that were jammed on his head. I've told you many times about how ministers, they called them priests in that day, how they just didn't agree with him saying he was the Son of God. And they begin to beat him, over 100 of them, open hand and backhanded him in his face. I'm always reminded, of course, of the beating that 39 pops he got with a cat of nine tails. Wow, that lashing. And I try to help us all understand that whip, those nine tails coming off that whip were designed to slice his body open. This wasn't just a little old whooping like I got when I was a kid, when my dad took three of us boys into the room and said, Mom said, You didn't act right, and I'm going to whoop you. And so the compassion that my dad had was he hit the bed with the belt until my mom came in and caught him. but nothing like that. Or even when I did get it, man, it hurt, but nothing like Jesus. And I know I'm, you know, I made it funny, but really, it's so serious. The beating that he took. And then when they put him on that cross, wow. Listen to me. He did it all for us. He didn't have to. You remember, he didn't have to. He was 100% man, yet 100% God. And he had the right to say, Father, I'm not doing it. It's too much pain. But he didn't say that, of course. He had to fulfill that prophecy, that prophetic thing that God was wanting to do for all of us. And Jesus said, it's not my will, Father, but thy will be done. So when you eat of this bread, which represents the broken body, and I don't have to go to, I mean, I have it here in 1 Corinthians about how they broke bread. Take, eat, do it in remembrance of me. And then this is the New Testament of the blood. We understand that. But really what we're doing, is just like baptism, when you go under that water, the death, burial, and resurrection of the new you in Christ, we're remembering the broken body and the blood that was shed. The blood that covers a multitude of sin, that gives you the right and dominion and authority to use his name, Jesus. That at his name every demon has to flee. That at his name every knee is going to bow one day and confess that he's Lord. Thank God he died for us. Thank God we don't have to go to a priest and share our sins and let him take them into the Holy of Holies. No, we get to do that now ourselves. We can walk boldly, all because of the broken body and the blood that was shed. So the next time the devil tries to attack you in any way, this is why we do this. We're reminded, no, Jesus died for me. I have victory in him because of the broken body and his blood that was shed. So take, eat, and let's drink in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you. That Jesus died, but not just a death and that's it. He's been raised from the dead. Hallelujah. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's seated right there beside you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus, we love you. Thank you for being obedient. And that's the way we want to live our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't you give God some praise somehow? Amen. Just pass those juice bottles. Jamie and I got married. I've told some of y'all this before. Anybody ever seen 8 Seconds, the movie, Lane Frost, or heard about Lane Frost? Well, his wife at the time was Kelly Frost. Now she is married to a friend of ours named Mike Macy. Here you go, brother. Brother. Hey, brother. Can I give you this?
Yeah.
Thank you, brother. Are you not a brother?
Yeah, I'm a brother.
That's from another mother?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, go on. Do your job. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. And, it was funny. Son of a gun. And Lane had already, you know, died in Cheyenne several years back. And Mike and Kelly was going to our church in Lubbock. Anyway, she came to Jamie and I, and we was going to get married. She said, we want y'all to come to the ranch in Post, Texas. Anybody know where Post is? She said, let's take communion. I'm telling you, she had real wine. And I never had wine hardly. I mean, I'm just not a drinker. Man, she gave us that wine. I didn't know it was wine. I took a big old gulp. And Did I get drunk on that one gulp? Oh, thank God. Anyway, I wanted to go back like 4 or 5 times. I didn't understand it, but I'm kidding. But we do juice here, same thing. Amen. Nat's got his head down. That's good. It was funny, I thought. Man, I feel hungry. Did I say that earlier? Huh. Big round of applause for Kids Church and Youth Group out the back end. Amen. If you're a youth, man, you'll have a blast in the youth. If you're a kid 11 and under, you'll have a blast there too. So head on back. We want to give y'all a little time to spend some time together. Come on, give them another hand, would you? Love you guys. I want to jump right into the Word of God. How many brought your Bibles? Let me see all the Bibles. I'm going to try to stay focused. Good Bibles. I mean, bring your Word. Amen. Bible. What? My Lord. Rick, that's an iPad or something, isn't it? It's a big old. Did y'all see that? Hold it back up and show them. Look at that thing. Does it have big print? Man. Morris, did you bring your Bible? You didn't? Well, stand up and come on up here and just. I got one up here. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 3. I want to jump right into this message. All you guys that are watching live, it's an honor to have you. I know people watch from, all over. I know some folks in Iowa and folks in Florida and California and up in Montana and a lot in Texas, of course, New Mexico and so on. Some of you guys probably have spread the word about they can watch Sunday mornings at 10:30 live. And thank you for doing that, wccowboychurch.org. And it's a good time also if you're traveling that, you know, I can actually watch the service and make sure Howdy's acting right. And, you know, when I'm gone. And this is the time that that I start. I've been here probably more this year than I ever have because just scheduling. But now it's time that, matter of fact, as soon as this service is over, Jay and myself are going to head on to Oklahoma, about 8-hour drive, and we'll be there tonight. And then we'll get ready to start traveling up. I think on Friday morning we're in Clovis, New Mexico, and then we head straight up to College National Finals. I have to be at a meeting at 3 o'clock on Saturday, so we're going to have to get there starting on Friday. We put up a tent at the College National Finals so that, and of course we do, next Sunday is a very large service. There'll be thousands there, and they want to start the week off right before they start rodeoing. And then on Tuesday night, we put up a tent, and they can either go to the bar or they can come to the tent. And thank God, hundreds come to that tent. And they have for 20 years that we've been there. And we do that every night until about Friday. And then Saturday, we have another service, and then I'm staying up in Montana and in some of that area. To the glory of God. And so, y'all, I want you to maintain some things here. This is not the time to stop coming to church because your pastor's gone for a month or two or three. This is a time when you graft into the Word and continue to support this church. Amen? And I just declare when I leave and start evangelizing and ministering to all those cowboys that and cowgirls, that this church grows, and it always has, and even in every area it grows. And so I want you to pray for us, but pray for this church that, man, people get saved, healed, delivered, and set free to the glory of God in Jesus' mighty name. Say amen to that. Come on. Thank God. I want to talk this morning about attitude. This really was a message that the Lord gave me for the College National Finals, but man, the more I talk about it, the more I look at it, I want y'all to see what the Lord can do in your life about attitude. Attitude is everything in a believer's life. Because if you don't have a good attitude about who you are in Christ Jesus, then when all hell tries to break loose in your life, you won't know what to do. Or you'll receive the report of someone else other than the report of the Lord, you see. In other words, if the doctor came and said you're dying of some cancer or some disease or sickness, if you don't have a good attitude and know who you are, and you have the faith of this word being truth and making you free, then you'll receive what the doctor has said. Now, they're educated, and they're not not of God, but they're not your final report. Say amen to that. Because Jesus is your final report. And he's already declared that you're healed by the stripes of Jesus, you see. So we're not playing around with this church stuff. This is real stuff that God has given us so that we can, as John 10 did, declares that we can have life and more abundant life in Christ Jesus. Thank God for that. But it's going to take a good attitude. I mean, your attitude can't be, well, you know, if it be thy will, sir, that just tells me you don't know what God's will is in your life. But when a doctor tells me and gives me a negative report, then I can go to the Word of God and I've got the report, praise God. And I'm not saying we don't go to doctors, because we do. But they are not our final report. We're healed by Jesus' stripes. Matter of fact, Mark 16 says, why don't you just go lay hands on the sick and they'll recover? Because when you apply faith and you have the attitude that God wants you to have, not of fear and doubt and unbelief, but man, of faith. And when you have that attitude of faith, man, that's when you can speak to the mountain. Now, I don't know what the mountain is in your life. I just know what it is in mine. But we can speak to the mountain and command that mountain to be cast into the sea. Amen. And you know, it goes on to say, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things which you say shall come to pass. You'll have whatsoever you sayeth. So we understand that by faith, man, we need to start saying what God says. Not what someone else says. I mean, because a lot of times, especially if they don't know what to say, they're just going to try to help you justify what's going on in your life. You know, I know the doctor says you're dying, and it's okay, brother. We need to, you know, we need to start getting your life in order and get some things prepared for that death, you know. When you know what they need to hear? No, you're going to live and not die in Jesus' name. Get up in Jesus' name. Come on. You ain't got time to die. I mean, you, right? I ain't insinuating you're dying. Yeah. You're not dying, are you?
No. Brother.
Thank God. He's healed. Amen. So that's the thing, man. You're healed because that's who you are. Amen. Now, if you get in agreement, though, right, with, you know, the enemy that says, you know, he comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, right? Okay, we can get in agreement with that, but my advice as a minister hopefully wouldn't say, oh, you know, it's just your lot in life, brother. You're going to die. Do you know Jesus? Well, that's a good thing. I mean, you need to know Jesus before you die. Amen. Anybody out there? Amen. But why wouldn't we want to have heaven here? Because, see, you don't need, as we have said many times in this church, joy in heaven, because it's there. You don't need peace, because the Prince of Peace is there, right? But where we need it is right here. Man, I need the peace of God in my life. Especially the peace of God that passes understanding in me and my wife's life. I mean, we need to have direction in our life. Sorry, I had to pull your hair. Could have got slapped right then. You wouldn't slap me in church, though, Mama, would you? Thank God. I need peace. You know, we need peace. We need to know that the direction God is moving this church into is the right thing. You see. Well, that's going to take us having the right kind of attitude. Okay. Now look. The Apostle Paul dealt with this in Colossians, trying to get us to have a good attitude. And look what he says in verse 12, and that's where we're going to camp out, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. He says, put on therefore as the elect of God. Now look at me, look at me. Who is the elect of God? That's us, believers. We're the elect. We're believers. We're priests. We're sons. We're daughters of the Most High God. If you have accepted Jesus as Lord. That's Romans 10:9. That's John 14. Jesus is the only way, truth, and life, right? The only way to get to that Father in heaven is through Jesus. So when you give your life to Jesus, you're now the elect, okay? So keep that in mind as you're reading this word. Put on therefore, he's talking to you, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. I like that, man, when he calls you holy and beloved. Man, a lot of people don't receive that. They don't feel holy and beloved. Well, I think it's important that we remind people that we're not moved by our feelings. What are we moved by? The Word of God. Say that with me. We're not moved by our feelings. We're moved by what? The Word of God. So here's what it says. God's saying, put on something, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humility, or humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. I'm going to stop right there because I know it goes on to say some awesome things, but and I think this now is why I'm a little bit ornery this morning, this very first one, because I want to deal with exactly what, inspired by God, they wrote in this word. Now, everybody understands that, right? All this word is inspired by God, and that's why it was written. God needed it to be written in this way. And I want to dissect, talking about attitude, the things that the Word of God is telling us, the first one being, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, number one, bowels of mercy, of mercies. Man, this is funny, but I mean, I want you to be mature now, okay? Look at me, class. I want you to be mature. But there's a reason that he put bow of mercy. And think about that. When you study it out in the Greek, it denotes a deeply felt urge to help relieve some kind of pain or sorrow. Now think about that. Is anybody getting it but me? Because what happens in a bow? Now I said be mature, so quit smiling so much. This is very interesting to me when you're being mature about this, because obviously we understand our bodies and how things are that are causing pain need to be released a lot of times. But think about it in a more mature way, because sometimes we need to deal with things on the inside more than the things on the outside. Because the things on the inside really are what are tearing us down. Things that we're holding on the inside, see. When you hold an unforgiveness on the inside, man, it obviously will come out. Matthew literally declares that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks it. So we know that the things that we deal with on the inside are very important. And we need to make sure that we're not holding on to that unforgiveness or that resentment, because a lot of times it's affecting us on the inside, Our spirit man, man, is wanting to move on with God, but because of the things and the insecurities and the fears and the doubts and the unbeliefs that we're dealing with on the inside, we really can't have that victory because we've never dealt with the things that are on the inside, see. And I realize you got to deal with some things on the outside, but man, when you're struggling with things on the inside, that's what's defeating us in lots of areas. And we've got to come to ourselves. We got to start dealing with these things. And so here in Colossians, the word is trying to help us, my beloved, put on bowels of mercy. Let's start dealing with some things that are holding us back. If you've got an anger problem or you've got an addiction problem, you've got to deal with that, y'all. I mean, we can no longer say, well, you know, it's not hurting me. I know I'm addicted to tobacco, but, you know, that's just, we're cowboys. That's just part of life. No, no, no. God's actually wanting to deal with you in that area. I mean, if you're addicted to smoking, let's say, that's it's a tough addiction, I'm sure. I've never had to deal with it, thank God, but family members have. I've watched them progress from trying to go down from, you know, instead of one pack, let's go down to half a pack. And then let's try to, you know, moderate down to only one a day. And, you know, those things never really work. I always teach people when they come to counsel about an addiction, I always tell them you have to have more of a desire not to do it than to do it. Because you'll never get set free if you still have more of a desire to do it than not to do it, see. And so, moderately, you can't just stop things or slow the process down. No, 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 no. You've got to make up your mind, which is the mind of what? Christ. And say, no, it's not controlling me any longer. You know, why are we talking about stuff like this? Are we not wanting to make people upset in the church? Come on, I step on my own toes enough. I mean, we got to start talking about stuff like this because it's all attitude. It's all attitude. And man, we need to see victory after victory in our lives instead of being the victim over and over and over again. And these are some ways to help us. Bowels of mercy. But look at number two. Kindness. I mean, there's a time when, man, we need to have some kindness come on us. When I studied out this word kindness, obviously, it means to be friendly to others, but also being acceptable to others. Have you ever heard someone say, I ain't changing for no one? Don't raise your hand if you said that before. I'm not changing for no one. Well, really, what this means is that we're more focused on us than showing kindness and thinking of others. Listen to me, as a Christian and a believer in Jesus Christ, our mission really, and what God's instructed us to do is not think about self, but to think about others. Now, I'm not saying you never think about yourself, because you need to. But really, when you're focused on others before really self, man, self just takes care of itself. I mean, it just comes in line. Matter of fact, the principles of sowing and reaping will come to effect in your life if you just think about others, because then all of a sudden, man, people's thinking about you. Yeah, I realize that some things have gone on in your life. I'm sure that, man, it hadn't been the greatest in some certain areas of your life, but man, it's time to move on. It's time to stop focusing on all those problems and just get your mind off of that and start focusing on someone else. And then watch what God does to you individually. I remember going through a little heartbreak years ago in my life. And I'll never forget going to little town Andrews, Texas. And I went to church with some friends, and the minister knew that my family was in the ministry. And he said, Corey, come on up here and minister to us. Well, at the time, I didn't feel like ministering to nobody. I needed ministered to. I mean, I'd just gone through this little heartbreak, and I need to be ministered to. It was amazing. The minute I started ministering to someone else, this whole group, it was ministering to me. That's exactly what this is talking about. Let's do number three. Number three. He goes on to say humbleness of mind. In the Greek, when you study this out, it literally is someone who thinks of others. Humbleness of mind. We should always have attitudes to, I believe, get on a level of someone else so that we can get them to come up to maturity. Now, I've always said to have a heathen friend. I think everybody ought to have a heathen friend. Anybody have them? Biker Bob's got plenty. Biker Bob, for all y'all that are watching, he's wanting to deliver some out to some of these people, you know. I'll give you some. But when we have a heathen friend, it's not to go down to their level. It's to bring them up, to get them born again, set free in Jesus' name. And then get another heathen friend. But listen to me. It's not to yoke yourself with that heathen friend. I mean, no. No, we don't start acting like them and yoking ourselves and being around them to try to get them up to our level when, you know, you're at the bar. No. We're to bring them out of that stuff and try to bring them up to maturity. Really, that's what humbleness of mind is all about. It's when you're saying, you know what, let me say it this way. The worst kind of person to be around is someone that thinks they're better than you in the ministry. And, oh, man, it's there. Competition in ministry is terrible. I disagree with it. I don't. If I see another church prospering, I'm for that church. Amen. Because if it can happen to that church, it can happen to our church. Amen. And thank God we're prospering. But I'm not going to get jealous over people attending another church if it's prospering. Man, no. No, I think we ought to quit fighting and just thank God that we have this kind of a crowd for a younger church and growing. Man, thank God. I want to have a mind of humility to where, you know, thank God I can be and do what God's called me to be and me to do. But yet, I'm constantly thinking about others. You see, that's humbleness of mind when we can just simply start thinking of someone else, you see. Now let's look at number four, meekness. Because this person is a person who is forbearing, patient, slow to anger, or slow to respond in anger, has learned how to control. This is something that, and when I minister to all these cowboys and cowgirls in next Sunday, we're probably going to camp right here. Because we need to start controlling some things, y'all. We was talking to London last night. She roped at Bull Verde. Is that how you say it? Bull Verde? Just this side of San Antonio. A lot of people there. She was breakaway roping, and then she was in the barrel racing. And we're trying this little mare. We're a good little mare. But it's a mare about 9 years old, and it's just ready to get rolling. And, this mare didn't back up all the way in the corner. And she was getting a little frustrated, and I said, just settle down. Just take that mare into a circle, and let's make it do, because we have authority over this mare. The horse should not have authority over us. And let's just train it, pet it, back it up. And there eventually it got back there. And I told her, this calf is going to run. I could tell. The thing was, I mean, you can usually tell when you're in there pushing a calf and getting it up there and getting it ready, you can tell if it's going to dart and go or if it's going to be, you know, a little slower. I knew this thing was going to run. So I looked at her. I said, get a start. When you nod your head, go. Don't be behind. Well, she's focused about this horse not backing all the way up. But then the horse eventually backs up and ready, resources ready. When she nods her head, she hesitated, and she didn't go quite fast, and the calf beat her out. And she had to run that calf down halfway, and then she missed. She rides out of that arena and says, "I will not have a horse that will not back up in the box." I said, "I'll jerk you off that horse if you're not careful." I don't know why it moved me so much, but I had to get her attention. That is not a good attitude. Your attitude ought to be, you know what, I'm going to get with this horse and I'm going to make it do right in Jesus' name. I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength. You know what she did? Now, my mom and dad told stories about me too when I was younger. But it was a training thing for her because, man, she is an awesome, awesome girl. I love that girl. She's so mild-mannered. But here, I mean, she lost control. She was so flustered. Well, guess what happened in the barrel race? I watch her, and I see her over there just sitting, and she wasn't moving that horse around. And she gets to the first barrel, and that horse doesn't turn it all the way. I mean, he way around it. Well, you need to be tight around those barrels, right? Because this is a timed event. And boy, she was frustrated at the end of it. And it was a great time to talk about control. There's a time when we got to start controlling and not throwing a fit. I mean, when we discipline a child, man, that's a good thing because they need it. That's the problem with a lot of our children today is they don't get discipline. We're too afraid to, you know, we're going to get in trouble at the school or, you know, somewhere else. I'm going to beat those kids. With control. But if we just do it in control, not out of anger, man, that's when the kid learns and they need it. And then there comes a day when you don't have to discipline at all, maybe a talking to. And that's all I did with her. I said, we have to control. We've got to start speaking the word of God. I can overcome this problem by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, as we talked about before. But it's all control. A lot of people don't have control. I mean, the littlest thing goes on in their life, they lose control. We cannot be like that, not as Christians, not in this day. Because the enemy wants you to lose control all the time. He doesn't want you to, you know, to your soulish realm to be in control in any way, which is your mind, will, and emotions. No, he wants you to be upset all the time. He wants you to be crying about this. And all that happens is the devil causes you to just stay in the same old rut, the same old vicious cycle over and over and over and over, usually because you do not control. Well, today we're going to start controlling, right? Because we have the word of God. That's what meekness is. No, I can control. I'm not going to get upset. Yeah, there's times when, man, it makes me upset when I miss, when I'm rodeoing. When I don't do right, man, golly, I want to throw a fit. But we have to control. So what? Let's take this over into your life. What if the doctor gives you a bad report? You have to control. That's not the time to get into fear and worry. That's not the time, listen. That's not the time to accept that as the truth. It may be the fact, but it is not the truth. Amen. The truth is in this word. Amen. That's not the time to lose control and start confessing negative things. Well, I'm just never going to get where I want to. I'm never going to have a good business. I'm probably going into bankruptcy. I'm probably going to lose my marriage. Yeah, things don't look good, Pastor Corey. I mean, I hear this stuff all the time, and my job is to say, I did a message years ago about shut your mouth. Because there's a time when you need to zip it. Because listen, I'll do one more and I'll close. But when you speak something out loud in a negative way, the devil can hear it. But when you hold your tongue, he don't know. He can't read your thought life. People think that he can. No, he cannot. God can, but not the devil. So there's a time to just keep your mouth shut. I mean, I know you want to say it too. I'd like to say, And you, I know you're probably wanting to tear into someone at times. Man, if you'll learn to control and hold your tongue, that's meekness, y'all. Let's do the last one real fast, and then I'll close. Oh, people love this one, long-suffering. Because these people have patience. Long-suffering. These people have patience for people to come around. Yeah, maybe they're not there yet. I mean, I don't know how many times I'm trying to convince people, get out of the way. If you're having a difficulty in a relationship, get out of the way so that God can minister to them. Stop smothering them. Get back. I mean, let God deal with them. I remember, and I've told this story about me and Jamie, but we dated for 5 to 6 years, and then we broke up. And I will never forget going to God. And it was, you know, primarily me because I was, you know, I was confused. I wanted to know what God had for me. And when we broke up, I will never forget saying, Lord, I release her to you. Now, most people don't say that when you break up. We're like, well, God, bring her back. Bring her back into my life, please, Lord. Because I'm talking about 6 years. Not just a short 2 months of dating. No, I'm talking 6 years. And I will never forget repenting. And I said, Lord, I apologize, sir. I've wasted her time and my time 6 years, sir. Forgive me. And this is the thing that ministered to me the most. It's because I said, Father, I release Jamie to you. And I ask you to find her a good, godly man that can marry her. Now, it's going to take some maturity to talk that way because most people would be like, no, bring her back. Get me right. Get her right. Whatever. And I said, Father, I release her. You know, all it did is it got me out of the way for God to minister to her and to minister to me separately without us being in the way. We were back together in at least six months, right, Mama? And married in about 2 or 3. Because we finally got out of the way so that God can start ministering to us individually instead of being in the way. You see, there comes a time when you need to have a little bit of patience with people and get out of the way and let God minister to them. Stop trying to be the God in their life. Step back and let God. All this, y'all, is attitude. Attitude. Man, and when we change our attitudes and we start finding out who we are in Christ Jesus, then when the devil tries to attack our life, we control. Not going to get me down. When they told me I had Crohn's disease, that would be a terrible time for me to accept that as my lot in life. This has been a long time ago. You know what I said instead? I told the doctor, I don't receive that. Y'all know the story. I told him 3 times, no, sir, don't receive that. Not going to take medicine for the rest of my life. No, sir, I don't receive that. All I was saying to self is the Word of God says I am healed by His stripes. And I'm not receiving this as final report. And as y'all know, I've never taken one pill in all these years. Why? Well, because I was healed by the stripes of the Lord Jesus. Why? Attitude. 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 So what's going on in your life? I mean, I don't know. I mean, what's going on to where you need to stand on the Word of God? Well, I'm here to tell you, if you got a good attitude, then nothing. Now, the devil will say, I'll just end it. End your life. Check on out. You know, yeah, you'll go to heaven. But that's when you tell that devil, no, I'm going to live and not die. I'm going to be prosperous, and I'm going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. You know, come on, why don't you get a little woman attitude too? What'd you say, devil? You know how you women are, right? I've said that. If she ever looked at you like that, like, I know y'all love each other and y'all have never fought in your whole life, but there's a time when you, I mean, men, come on. Get your chest out. What'd you say to me? Devil, you will not win. You're just a, did y'all know the devil is just a fallen angel? But you and I are made in his image. All right. Did y'all enjoy it this morning? Oh, Jesus, come on. Give us good attitudes, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, that there's one person here that does not know you as Lord, that you would draw their heart to you right now in Jesus' mighty name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell when you die, I want you to receive Jesus as Lord by praying this prayer. And all the believers in here, pray this prayer with us as well, so that you can pray next to someone that may be giving their life to Jesus for the first time this morning. And let's all just pray it just like this. You ready? Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Forgive me of my sins, because I believe you've been raised from the dead. Therefore, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm forgiven. And I'm a son or daughter. Thank you, Father, that Jesus is now my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Before you look up, every head bowed and every eye closed, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus, I want you to be bold enough to declare it before me. I don't want you to walk down to the front. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm going to ask you right where you're at, even if you're watching, wherever you're at, I want you to make it known that Jesus is your Lord. So what I'm going to do here is when I count to three, I want you to raise your hand if you just gave your life to Jesus. And all you're saying is, God, I'm not ashamed. Thank you for saving me. And then just put your hand right back down. If you've never given your life to Jesus and you just prayed that prayer in a minute, get your hand up when I say three. You ready? With boldness. One, two, three. Go. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. I saw it. I saw it. Just going to give you, just get your Bible. No one looking around. Anybody else? Glory be to God. Make sure I see it. If you hadn't raised your hand, just raise it up, put it right back down. I'm so honored. God bless you. All right, look at me. It's amazing in this church that so many people give their lives to Jesus every single Sunday. And I know there's one today, but I was raised in churches where if they got five in a year, that was a big deal. I'm serious. And God just brings in people. And once you give your life to Jesus, now it's time to move on and get to maturity. Amen? And start living for him. And that's why you come to church. And that's why you go to Bible study. Amen? We have Bible study on Tuesday. We're also starting in the month of August under the direction of Dawn. We're going to start doing some cool things. We're going to start doing...